In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord is preparing Israel to enter the promised land. But before they can take possession, they must defeat the Canaanite tribes there. The Lord has commanded them to do this and promised them success, as we read in verse 23 of Deuteronomy 7. The Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. The lesson is, if we are obedient to the Lord, we will be helped by the Lord. And it was as Israel fought the Canaanites in the name of God that God gave them victory and blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24 puts it like this: faithful is he which calleth you, who also will do it. Have you a difficult thing to have to do? Well, if the Lord calls you to it and you do it in his name, he will grant you the help and he will grant you the blessing. And we will prove his faithfulness again. But you'll notice that regarding the victory promised over these Canaanites, in verse 22, there is that little phrase, by little and little. In other words, the Lord will enable Israel to eject and destroy the Canaanites gradually, by degrees. The initial invasion under Joshua would be fairly quick, but the actual possession of the land will take longer, and it will be little by little. And so it was, because as we read the history, there was one battle after another. Sometimes Israel lost, sometimes they won. There was very gradual progress over the time. There were setbacks as well as advances. But this taught them to trust in the Lord and prove the truth of his promise that he would be with them as they were obedient and give them victory. So that by the end, in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, we read this: not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua looking back and giving God the glory for his faithfulness and keeping his promise to Israel in the conquest of Canaan. Now, this phrase in verse 22, by little and little, it has something to teach us. It is a description of the way the Lord typically works. It is true that sometimes he is pleased to work immediately and powerfully. Great things happen very quickly. For instance, in Joshua chapter 10, we read that in addition to Israel fighting the Canaanites, the Lord rained down great stones from heaven, great hailstones upon them for their destruction. When he says little and little, he is no little God, but he condescends to work more usually in this way, by little and little. And this is for our encouragement and to remind us of a principle that perhaps sometimes we forget. Let us see, first of all, some examples, and then afterwards, secondly, draw some lessons. First of all, some examples, by little and little. Let us apply this to ourselves today. One way is how sinners are converted by little and little, sometimes through a little thing. There is a little story that comes from the 19th century concerning a 19-year-old young man in America planning to take a riverboat trip with friends. But 2 days before we intended to leave, he writes, "I injured my foot while chopping wood. It was only a small cut, but the blue dye in the homemade socks I wore poisoned the wound, and I was compelled to stay at home. While my friends were on their trip, a preacher came into our town to hold meetings. I was invited, and since I didn't have anything else to do, I went along. The message touched me deeply. As a result, I was converted. I surrendered my heart to the Lord Jesus." That 19-year-old man was James Garfield, who grew up to be the 20th President of the United States, and died in 1881. A little cut and the poisoning of the wound from homemade socks, by little and little, a little thing. And you see, the Lord can work, and often a little thing will contribute to a bigger thing in God's purposes, one after the other, like links in a chain, as we say. Little is much if God is in it. And we're not to overlook the chance meeting with an unconverted person, and we share a bit of our testimony. Not by chance, that was a divine appointment. You never know what will come of that. A tract given out on a Saturday morning. Someone who visits the church just for one service goes out again. "I'll never come into that place again." But he'll go into another place maybe, and God will meet with him there. Little and little. And so God typically works in these ways. We don't see the whole, but God does. We may see the little thing, but he knows what it might lead to, what it will lead to in his purposes. So the conversion of a sinner and the work of grace in the soul of a Christian is another application, because although regeneration, the new birth, happens at once and is complete, we are alive and partakers of the divine nature. God has given us a new heart and a new spirit put within us, but the effects of that appear by little and little. As we read in our Lord's parable in Mark 4, verse 28, and the seed in the ground, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But growth is gradual, stage by stage, by little and little. In some real Christians, the spiritual growth can be very, very gradual. Sometimes perhaps not even so visible. And we should have loving patience, especially perhaps with younger people who profess faith. There can be a fitful going forward, seeming to go back. But the matter is not how quick, how rapid, but how real. That's the thing. And in Job's words, Job 19, verse 28, "The root of the matter is found in me." And if the root of the matter is there, then the work of grace in the soul has begun, and the Lord will carry it on. Coming back to the picture in Deuteronomy 7, it's like subduing and ejecting the Canaanites. The Canaanites of our corruptions, and establishing possession of holiness in heart and life by little and little. It seems beset by setbacks. You can feel encouraged one day at the way the Lord is leading you on. And then the very next day you can feel very discouraged and think maybe you're going back, and you feel dry and spiritually barren and lean and very languid spiritually. But it's all part of by little and little. The fact is that the Lord is working. Romans chapter 7, and the Apostle Paul himself saying that sin dwelleth in me, the good that I would, that I do not, the evil I would not do, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And at other times, feeling more encouraged. But you see, sanctification is our cooperating with the work of the Spirit of God in us. And if he dwells in us because we're born of God, he is working in us, and he will cause spiritual growth and development, growth in grace and holiness. And when you think that the Savior has prayed for our sanctification, John 17, verse 17, he said to his Father concerning his disciples, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so you see, more is happening than you think. That prayer is being answered. The Holy Spirit is using the word to cleanse us, sanctify us, bring us on in spiritual growth and holiness. It is happening. Philippians 1 verse 6, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it. It's definite promise that he'll do it. It is happening. Philippians 2 verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And notice the two things, an inclining work to will and an enabling work to do of his good pleasure. And we acknowledge, don't we, that the very desire to be more holy is God wrought in us, God given, and that the ability to mortify sin and avoid temptation and reject it and follow in the Lord's ways, these are given things, and we're strengthened in doing them. And little, we go forward, and there is progress. The Lord knows what he is doing, his own work of grace. You can feel terrible and in the pits spiritually, and yet you are precious in the Lord's sight because he's working in you. And even the barren, low, dark times are all part of learning and all part of real spiritual experience and the exercises of heart and God working in us. He's making us more like he wants us to be. It's not how fast it is happening, but is it happening? And if we're born again, it certainly is happening. And there is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, but he's working. It's happening. We're going forward, and all the work of the devil can't keep us back. The work of grace is an indomitable work, an invincible work in the Lord's people, and we are progressing. And then another application. It's not only little things in conversion, it's not only the work of grace in the soul, it's learning to trust him. Little and little. Here's the verse in Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And there's the antidote to fear and worry. God is my salvation. I will trust. Trust in him and not be afraid. And you can put the two things together. Trust, afraid. If you're afraid, we're failing to trust. But if we trust, we won't be afraid. They're mutually exclusive. You can't have the two in the one heart. So trust in the Lord ejects fear. And so when we do trust in him, we are helped. Little and little we learn this. We're slow to learn it, but we do learn it. And if we find we're worrying again, it's because the trust is weakening and we've forgotten to trust. Isaiah 7 and verse 9 is an important verse. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. We won't be strengthened in trust and strengthened in being free from fear and worry if we don't believe. But ask the Saviour to help you, comfort, strengthen and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. If you find that you're worried and afraid, then think more about the God you trust in than what worries you. Keep him in view. Look to him and trust and not be afraid. But we come to this little and little, and you say to me, well, I'm so slow to learn this. And even recently, I've been so weighed down with worry and fear. I've been almost overwhelmed by it. I'm no better than the average unbeliever. Well, the fact is, the Lord, little by little, will bring us back and come to the right place and will trust and not be afraid again. It won't last always. We'll come back, but then he'll bring us again to the right place. It's little and little. And it's a learning curve. Sometimes it's very steep and gradual. But this is all part of it. There's no Christian who ever says, oh, I've come to it now. Perfect trust, perfect peace all the time. And we think to ourselves, oh my, what am I doing wrong? How far off I am from that. But every believer, if he's honest, would never say that. It's always by little and little. And God is patient. And the Lord will bear with us and help us. Learning to trust. And then fourthly, the progress of the kingdom is another application, another lesson, by little and little. By the progress of the kingdom, I mean people being converted, the gospel triumphing, the church being built up, and the Saviour being glorified, even society itself being affected by the power of the gospel. But by little and little is the typical way. You think of our Lord's parable in Matthew 13, verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Bread making with the yeast. And yeast is just a single-celled fungus. It works by consuming sugar and excreting carbon dioxide and alcohol as byproducts, so making the dough rise. But it begins as something tiny, and then it gradually, little by little, permeates the whole and affects the thing. And so the progress of the kingdom, by little and little, by one conversion here, the witness of the church there, prayers offered at the prayer meeting. Now, sometimes, of course, in the way the Lord works and he's sovereign in these things, sometimes there are great surges in revival. But these are exceptional. They don't happen very often. We would that they would happen more regularly, but they happen as often as it pleases the Lord to send them. He is sovereign in these things. But the more ordinary way is by little and little. The kingdom advances by small steps as well as by great ones. William Carey said of his missionary work in India, "I can plod." And he meant that I do things day by day, week by week, month by month. And we need plodders, don't we? Not impatient ones who want to see it all happen overnight and are prepared to give up if it's not like that. Look for something else to do in God's work. No, no. Patient plodding. Sometimes it's for the long haul, isn't it? Little and little. But if God is doing the little and little, it's not little really. It's immense in its ramifications and significance. And great things really are happening. Matthew Henry put it, "We must not think that because the deliverance of the church and the destruction of its enemies are not effected immediately, therefore they will never be effected. God will do his own work in his own method and time, and we may be sure that they are always the best." One further example. Little things in conversion, the work of grace in the soul, learning to trust, progress of the kingdom. What about the work of providence, which is a fascinating and wonderful thing to think about? By little and little. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2, there is something that happens that is absolutely pivotal in God's work of bringing his son into the world, the messianic line. Now, if we were asked what should happen in something as big and world-affecting and terrific and seismic as this, that something should happen to guarantee that the Messiah should come in the fullness of the times, what would we say? Oh, some great thing, some massive, huge thing, some terrific thing. And what was it? Her hap was to light upon a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And they met just like that, fell in love, married, had a son, Obed. Obed grew up, got married, had a son called Jesse. And Jesse grew up, married, and had a son called David, King David. And so it all went into the bringing of God's son into the world. It just happened that Ruth started gleaning in Boaz's field, picking up the stalks and ears of grain that had been dropped accidentally by the reapers, some of them deliberate, because Boaz told them. But she was gathering them up, but happened to light upon the field belonging to Boaz. And providence is such that a small, seemingly chance thing can happen. And it doesn't look like providence at all. It was just chance. And that's the language. In the margin, her hap happened. But of course, it was appointed from eternity. And it happened in time. And it was such a small thing that you'd hardly notice. But it has such terrific, tremendous consequences down to our day, giving us the Saviour whom we know and love. And so you see little and little. You never know what God is doing. Some little thing, some overlooked thing, and there is the presence of God, there is the hand of God, there is the purpose of eternity. And how exciting that is, because we live in a world governed by God, and his providence reaches to the falling of a sparrow, to the number of the hairs on our head. His providence is everywhere and in everything. And who knows, by little and little. And so the work of providence. How was the Apostle Paul's life saved from an ambush by Jews who were waiting to assassinate him? How was Paul's life saved? Acts 23, verse 16, by his little nephew, his young nephew, overhearing the plot that these 40 Jews had made and telling the chief captain so that Paul would be given a military escort and be protected, and the plot was foiled. A little lad overheard, a little bird told me. Something as small as that preserves the life of the Apostle Paul. What is it that Elijah's servant saw that led to black clouds overhead and a huge downpour that ended the drought and the famine in Israel? There ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Just a little thing, but the harbinger of so much more. And so by little and little, little things, God is pleased to work. And so how wonderful this is. Some examples, but let's look at some lessons from this before we conclude. If it's by little and little in these ways, let's be patient, dear friends. God's time and rate of working, not ours. Let patience have her perfect work, especially in the Lord's work that we have a share in. You can serve the Lord in whatever way you do in the church, and you've done it again today, and you think, what's come of that? Has that been any good? I can't see any result from it, any fruit. By little and little, some seed has gone into good soil. Some work of grace is about to begin. Some gracious token will be seen perhaps soon. And so the Lord works in his own way. If you're doing God's work in God's way and praying over it and looking to God to bless it, cannot fail to be blessed. But be patient. If we took our encouragement and our incentive to continue from what we saw at the time, we'd be giving up, wouldn't we? But you see, it's a work of faith, the scripture says. We believe and we look beyond what's seen and trust in the Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. And our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Take comfort from that. There are cases where out of, say, youth work in the church, or out of evangelism in a town, or out of open-air preaching, there's been someone converted and grown up to be a useful servant of God in the future. You just never know. But it's God's work, really, more than ours. And we are laborers together with him. And so, by little and little. And do not undervalue the little. The verse in Zechariah 4 and verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? It's a challenge, because here was a temple, a second temple, but it only had the foundation and a little bit of the walls, and it had stalled and there was not much to show. But the problem was not the little work. The problem was the attitude of the people. You're despising the day of small things. True, it is small, but it can grow and become greater. And God is the God of small things. And he can make it a day of greater things as he pleases. Don't undervalue and despise what seems small. If God is in it, it's not really small. It's big with significance and potential. How was Naaman, the Syrian, converted? It was a little girl from Israel that was taken captive and brought to Naaman's household and served his wife. And when he caught leprosy, she happened to say, "There is a prophet in Israel." And it led to one thing after another. And Naaman was healed of his leprosy and glorified the God of Israel. A little girl. Don't despise small means that the Lord will use. And you see, the whole of anything is made up of little parts, isn't it? Charles Dickens once wrote, "Trifles make the sum of life." Trifles, not trivial, but trifles, small things, put them all together and they make the whole. Here's another little illustration which I think sums it up. From the 19th century, in the days when middle-class families had a cellar where the coal was dropped into it through the sort of window just by the opening by the pavement, and when there was a maid and other servants. And I take it this is a Christian husband and wife. "I said to my wife the other day, when the coals come in, it takes several big fellows to bring in the sacks. But yet our little kitchen maid, Mary, has brought the whole ton up from the cellar into our parlour. But she has done it a scuttleful at a time. She has as surely moved those tons of coal as ever did the wagons when they brought them in. But she has moved them by little and little and done it easily. Scuttle by scuttle. And over time, the whole." And you see, it is true, isn't it? It's the long haul. Blessed is the church that has a young minister who settles in it for the long haul and doesn't, in a carnal, worldly outlook, think, "Well, this is a small church. It'll do me for now. It'll be a kind of a stepping stone to something bigger and better in a year or two's time." No, no. A true minister called of God, installed in a church by the blessing of heaven, will be in it for the long haul, among his own people, though they might be few, but little and little. And you know yourselves what 50 years of little and little has produced here. Blessed is the church, and may God give to churches such men. And finally, you can see the wisdom and kindness of it, can't you? Because there was a reason the Lord did this in the case of Israel possessing the land of Canaan. And that reason is also in verse 22 of Deuteronomy 7. "And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee." These wild and ferocious beasts that were in the land, lions, bears, jackals, and so on. And you see, it says in chapter 7 earlier, as we read, that the people of Israel were the fewest of all people. The Lord didn't choose them because they were big in number. They were few in number. The Lord loved them and chose them because he would love them. Sovereign, distinguishing grace. But because they were relatively few in number, compared with the tribes of Canaan, if there was swift depopulation, then these animals would be emboldened. And these wild, dangerous beasts would be a great danger. And so, by little and little, to keep those animals down and keep them from gaining the ascendancy and being a danger to the people of Israel. So the gradual subduing and ejecting of the Canaanites and their utter destruction in most cases from the land was a kindness to the people who would take their place of fewer people in number. And we can be sure that by little and little is not an arbitrary thing in God's dealings or purposes. It's in our best interests. There's always a good reason for it. I say that sometimes God can move powerfully and mightily. A nation is born in a day as far as the kingdom advances and the church goes forward. But mostly by little and little. The Lord knows what he's doing. In the case of the little things that bring about conversion, in the case of the work of grace in the soul, in the case of learning to trust him, in the case of the progress of the kingdom, and in the case of the work of providence. The Lord knows what he's doing. We trust him to have his way. And may his name be glorified and his work be done. Amen.